Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Well, let's just start there of chapter number one. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of their two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. God, you know the need of the service. God, you know every person that's sitting in here listening, God. And Father, you know every person that's listening via internet today, Father, whether it be Facebook or YouTube. God, Father, you know the needs of every person today. God, you know what's on my heart today, God, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me deliver to the people, God, what you've delivered to me. God, I pray, Lord, that we would get clear understanding from your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would leave challenged today. If there's anybody here today lost, I pray, God, that you'd save them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The little book of Ruth is, man, it's just an interesting book. Matter of fact, you that knows the book and has read the book, and you that's heard me preach any out of the book of Ruth, knows that the little book of Ruth is truly a Cinderella story of the Bible. It's a lady that has nothing, that ends up with everything, and even ends up in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, it's just an awesome book. When we come to it here, the setting of the book of Ruth is in the times of Judges. In other words, it follows the book of Judges, and it is really tied hand in hand with that. It is in the time when the judges judged the nation of Israel. And when we come down through here, we'll find that there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judea. And in the midst of that famine, Elimelech chooses to take his family and walk away from the very place God had put him at. Matter of fact, whenever you get to the end of chapter number one and go into chapter number two, you'll find out that Naomi ends up saying this, that they went out full and came back empty. Chapter number two, she returns back to Bethlehem, and she says this, we went out full and came back empty. Now, listen to what I'm fixing to say. I find it very interesting that they went out full in the midst of a famine. Did you catch that? The Bible said it was a famine, but Naomi said she went out full. In other words, even though there was a famine, God was still meeting their needs. And if you're not careful, I want you to hear me this morning. If you're not careful, there'll be times in your life when God's meeting all of your needs, but the devil will make something look better on the other side and will lead you out of God's will and ultimately lead you to destruction in your life. That's what happens right here in the life of Ruth and Naomi, or not Ruth and Naomi, but in the life of Elimelech and Naomi. Elimelech not only led himself to destruction, but he led his family to destruction. Why? Because his family went out after him. And you know what? A lot of times that's what happened, is because the man is the leader of the home. Somebody give me an amen right there. If your home's set up in according to the Word of God, the husband is the head of the home, and he leads them out. Even though they're full, they still go out. The Bible goes on to tell us that they was going to sojourn. They was going to, boy, I'm seeing so much, but Randy, I don't know if I'll get done this morning. They was going to sojourn in the country of Moab. Bethlehem is the place of bread. It's God's place. Moab is a washpot. It's a nasty place, if you want to look at it that way. If you want to look at it this way, it's the world. That's what it is. And the Bible said this, that Elimelech, even though it's famine, even though they go out full, Elimelech says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over here for just a little time, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to go over here for just a little while. In other words, Elimelech was saying this, I have a timeline in my mind of how I want things to go, and it's nowhere here that Elimelech prays and asks God, God, show me this. God, look, listen to me right here. I need to teach this morning, but I really want to bog in and preach, but my throat's already hurting. I can't, and I don't have nothing, okay? I've been to the doctor this week, and the only thing that they said I had was a high IQ and strep throat, okay? And I've been on antibiotics long enough that that's not going to hurt you, okay? Now watch this. Nowhere can I find. I'm serious, man. I want to help you this morning. That is my heart. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to help you. And maybe I'm preaching to me. Nowhere do I find that Elimelech in these first verses says, God, I need you to give me clear direction on this. Nowhere do I find that. And I want to say something to you. Sometimes the devil, look, you can pray. I'm careful what I pray out loud. Here's the reason I'm careful what I pray out loud. The devil is not all-knowing. The devil don't know my thoughts and my intentions. God does, but the devil don't. So when I pray that out loud, if I'm praying about something very specific, Brother Stan, I don't pray it out loud because I don't want the devil to hear what I'm praying and throw me a curveball and make the grass look even greener on the other side and make me think it's God leading me that way when it's really Satan. Anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Elimelech nowhere prays. Nowhere do I see him fasting and begging God to show him how to lead his family right here. But you know what he does? He goes out full. That's what the Bible said in the end of chapter 1. They went out full and came back empty. He goes out full and he goes to Moab. And his whole intent was just to sojourn. That word sojourn means this. It means to temporarily dwell. He says, you know what, family, we're just going to go over here for a little while. Maybe Brother Stan, he sits down with his pastor there at the First Baptist Church of Bethlehem, Judea, and he talks to him and he says, you know what, I just believe God's leading us over here for a little while. But the pastor looks at it and goes, no, that's the world. That's the world, man. I'm telling you, that's a washpot. You're leading your family the wrong way. Don't always criticize the preacher. God might be showing him things he's not showing you. And maybe the preacher says, I don't know, I'd be careful about that. What's it going to do? What's it going to do with your home? Well, you know, we're going this way, but we're just going to be here a little while, and then Brother Joshua coming back. And went to sojourn. Well, let's see what his sojourning does. Sojourning does this. He says, in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons led the whole family astray with him. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, his sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Now look what the Bible says, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab, and what's the next word? Continued there. So what he started is just sojourning. He now ends up continuing there. Did you know every person that gets out of church started with just missing a Sunday school or a Wednesday night? This is, You know, preacher, this is, we're just going to miss every once in a while. We're just going to miss a Sunday here and there. And before you know it, what happened? Well, they was just going to sojourn. And then they continued there. But now watch this in verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. Let me tell you what happened to Elimelech. Here's what, and I'm headed somewhere. So here's what happened to Elimelech. Chastisement of God fell in his life. Let me tell you what happened to Elimelech. Let me give you some New Testament scripture for that. 1 Corinthians 5:5. The Bible is talking about getting out of the will of God, and the Bible says this, that God turns the individual's flesh over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. God killed him in Elimelech, or God killed him in Moab because he walked away from the presence of God. He walked away from the people of God. He walked away from the joy of God. Even though they may have been a famine, God was still meeting their needs. He walked away. Now watch this. Now here's his wife. Here's his wife and two kids in a mess because of his decision. Look what the Bible says. I really want to preach on Ruth here in a minute. I didn't have no intention saying any of this about Elimelech. Look what the Bible said in verse number 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, Mahlon and Chilion is dead. And there's a little widow lady by the name of Naomi that's left in a wash pot, that's left in the world, that's left set out to the side with two daughter-in-laws, that's Moabitish women, and here she is. Can I say something to you this morning? Every bit of that could have been prevented if Elimelech would have done what Elimelech should have done. Elimelech had no business leaving Bethlehem, Judea, and going to Moab. But you know what he done? The grass looked greener on the other side. And he got in his mind, no, amen, I know how we are. He got in his mind, you know what, I'll do this or I'll do that, or it'll be better here for a little while, or it'll be better there for a little while. You know what the Bible says? Contentness. Contentness. Talks about that, and Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. But Elimelech couldn't be content and led his family to Moab, ends up dying. Now both of his sons are dead. Now his wife is a widow in Moab that they went to sojourn in, but they've been there over 10 years now. Preacher, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this, and then I'm going to deal with Ruth a little bit. The moral of the story in Elimelech's life is this. Men, we better be careful what decisions we're making and the way that we're leading our families. Let me just back up and say that again. All you women sitting in here, it's time for you to nod your head and say amen. All right? Men, we better be real careful. Look at me, women. Start doing this with me now. Men, we better be real careful how we're leading our families and the decisions that we're making. Because if we're not careful, we may lead our families to Moab and us end up dying in our Moab and our families be left in Moab trying to figure out what to do with their life. Amen. Elimelech is responsible for the mess that Naomi's in now. There's a lot of men that's responsible for the mess that their families are in today. Amen. Now, if y'all don't loosen up a little bit, I'm going to bog in and preach meaner than a junkyard dog about men today, because it's a truth. Most men will lay at the house while the wife goes to work. It has never been your wife's place to work. It has never been your wife's place to make a living for your household. According to the Word of God, it's the man's place to raise the family. It's the man's place to work. A man that won't go to work don't even need a bed to sleep in. My daddy taught me to work when I was old enough and strong enough to pick up a square bale. He put me in the field in the summertime picking up hay with the farmers in our area. When I was old enough to learn how to pour cement, he put me with Carl Phillips and made me get up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the summertime and go pour cement all over the country. It's a man's place to work. That's a man's place. And if he don't work, he don't eat. I'm just going to be nice and leave it right there. Elimelech led his family the wrong way, and Brother Tim, his wife's down there in the middle of nowhere now. She's got both of her boys to take care of. Then both of her boys die. She has nobody to take care of her. He's pulled her away from her family. He's pulled her away from God. He's pulled her away from everything that she's ever been taught. And she wouldn't be in the mess that she's in if it hadn't have been for an ungodly husband. Now, here's why I want to preach at today. Ruth is faced with a decision right here. There's devastation hits her life. Not much. I'm going to go back and build a message on Elimelech. I am. I'm telling you, the more I think about it, the madder I get the way he done his family, Brother Brian. It's just the truth. He led them wrong, Brother Robert. That ought to be a lesson to us, Brother Zeb, the way we lead our families. Where we lead them to, where we're allowing them to be, what we're doing with our families, man, she's in a mess because of his decision. We don't know much about Ruth right here. Let me talk about her for a minute. We don't know much about her. We're just introduced to her right here. We don't know her upbringing. We don't know who her mom and daddy is. We don't know if they're good people, bad people, ugly people, fat people, skinny people. We don't know. All the things we know about them, they're Moabites. We don't know much about them. But Ruth ends up, by the grace of God, falling in with a family that was out of the will of God, but a godly wife was fixing to lead them back to the will of God after an ungodly husband died. That's what happens right here. Exactly what happens. And Ruth is devastated. She's been married. The Bible talks about them being there 10 years. She's been married. And now all of a sudden her husband and her brother-in-law dies. And devastation hits the life of Ruth. Could you imagine? Could you imagine all of a sudden now her husband is dead? What happens to him, we don't know. I think he was probably sick. When you study the names, Mahlon and Chilion, and the meanings of those names, they was probably sick, and they ended up dying. I don't know. They might have been doing mechanic work. They might have been working on a chair, and it fell off the jack stands. And I don't know, but they're dead, okay? They might have been kicked by a mule. I don't know. They're dead. They could have been having a race and the camel spun out and fell on. I don't know, but they're dead. I mean, I've put some thought into the way they died, if y'all can't tell. They're dead. And now she's devastated. Her husband is dead. You just imagine, Miss Tanya, if I drove up at your house and I said, Brother Josh is dead. The devastation that would hit. Miss Dawn, if I had come to the hospital and went back to see Brother Randy that day and walked back out and said, you know what, Miss Dawn, your husband's dead. Miss Tina, if the call came that something happened, the devastation that's in her life right now. Each and every one of us in this room are faced with devastating moments in our life. Every one of us. This morning we began to talk about the blessings of God in Sunday school. And man, it was just so good. It was so good. And I was talking about today's Leslie's birthday. And boy, how thankful I am for Leslie. And I'm going to tell you something. If the news was to come to me that something happened to Leslie, I'm not going to tell you what I would do. You said, preach, would you keep her? I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I'd lose my mind. I don't know. I don't want to know what I would do. The devastation that she faces. But with every devastating moment of our life, a decision follows that. A decision follows that. Ruth is faced with this devastating moment, and now she has to do something. Naomi realizes, I really believe this in all of my heart, Miss Alexis. Naomi realizes that Elimelech has led them out of God's will, that probably the reason her husband and both of her sons are dead is because Elimelech walked away from the blessings of God and thought it would be better somewhere else and took off that direction. I really believe in her mind she's thinking, you know what? The reason they're dead is because we're down here out of God's will. And you know what she says? Somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody knocked on their door one day, evidently, and said, hey, I'm down here visiting today. I'm Brother Barker out from First Baptist Church of Bethlehem, Judea. And I just want to let you know there's bread in Bethlehem. There's something real good going on over there in Bethlehem. And Naomi hears what the Word of God said right there. Naomi heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. She heard something was happening over there in Bethlehem. How she heard, I don't know. I don't know if she watched the Facebook Live. I don't know if she saw it on Twitter. I don't know if she saw it on Facebook. I don't know where she saw it. I don't know how she heard it. I know she didn't hear it on Facebook, though. But she hears business is picking up over there at Bethlehem. You know what Naomi says? Naomi says, I believe she's a godly woman. Naomi says, I'm tired of living in this mess. My husband may have brought me down here and brought us out of the will of God. My boys may be dead. My husband may be dead. But I know where the blessings of God is at. I know where the help from God is at. I know where I was at when God found me. And you know what I think I do? I think I'll pack my bags and I'll head back to Bethlehem. Well, she got a problem here. Here's the problem. She got two daughter-in-laws. She's got two daughters. There's a decision that's got to be made. Ruth is faced with devastation. Her husband dies. But there's a decision that's got to be made. Naomi starts to leave, and Ruth and Orpah says, hey, we're going with you. We're going with you. She ends up, I don't know why. If anybody can answer this, I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Ruth. I don't know how many books I've read on the book of Ruth. Nobody's ever been able to answer this. I don't know why Ruth told them to stay. I mean, Naomi told them to stay. But Naomi tells them, don't go with me, stay here. I don't know why. I've not figured that one out yet. Maybe I will when I get to heaven, or maybe Jacob's got the answer and he's going to tell me after service today. She says, stay. I'm talking about a decision after devastation. Ruth looks at Naomi, says, I'm not staying here. If you're saying there's something better than this, I'm going with you. And hear me, there was something better than that. I'm going with you. She makes the right decision. And you know what she does? She says goodbye to Moab and hello to Bethlehem. Watch this. After her decision was followed by dedication. Watch what your Bible said. Go with me, chapter 1. Chapter 1. I want you to see something right here. The Bible said this in verse 16. We all know it. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And what she does, she shows a dedication to her mother-in-law. There's a lot of people that after devastation hits, After devastation hits, they make a decision. And a lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to go to church. That's a knee-jerk reaction a lot of times. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. And they will for a little while, but Brother Josh, then all of a sudden you can't find them nowhere. Why? Because there's no dedication. Look what the Bible said in verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You know what that word steadfastly means? It means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, bold, solid. She was solid in her decision. God, give us some people today. God, give us some people today that'll make a decision to be solid in the house of God. We're not going to be wavering. We're not going to be going back and forth. We're not going to be constantly looking at Moab. Hear me and hear me well. God saved us out of Moab. We have no reason to go back to Moab. God, give us some people that'll say, by the help of God and the grace of God, God, give us some men and some fathers that with the help of God and by the grace of God, they'll say, hey, look, God saved me from Moab. And with the grace of God, I will lead my family right. I'll be solid in it. I'll be strong. I'll be alert. I'll be courageous. I'll be brave in my decision to wholeheartedly go after God. Her decision led to her dedication. I'm going to show you something, I'm not going to get done. We'll finish it tonight. If you don't come back tonight, you're going to miss the whole part of this. Her dedication, watch this, led to her dining. I got to looking at this. If she had have never followed Naomi, she would have never ended up at Boaz's table. Now, I hope you've read your Bible, because if you hadn't, I'm going to lose you here for just a few minutes. Boaz is a very wealthy man in Bethlehem, Judea. Very wealthy. Very well-known man. And from everything that I can find out about him, he loves the Lord. He's living in the favor of God. And Boaz is in Bethlehem. Naomi returns back to Bethlehem. They didn't even recognize her. Didn't even recognize her, because sin had put such a toll on her life. Boy, it will. Somebody say amen right there. She gets back, and here's what Ruth does. In her dedication to her mother-in-law, instead of her mother-in-law going to the field to get something to eat for him, you know what happens? Old Ruth goes to the field. She's dedicated. Whatever needs to be done, she's dedicated. She goes to the field and she begins working in the field. And while she's working in the field in chapter number 2, all of a sudden, now she's made it back to Bethlehem. She's out of Moab now. That's as far as a lot of people ever get in their salvation. As far as they ever get, Brother Josh. They get fire insurance, they get hell proof, and then they're not worried about anything else. But watch this. She goes to the field and she starts working. And while she's working in the field, there's this guy comes riding by in his vehicle. It was 4 horsepower. It's a chariot with 4 horses pulling on it. I don't know. I like it. You know, I'd have wanted a 6 horsepower. I mean, this thing's got 20-inch spinners on his chariot, Samuel, as it rolls up. Got 20 folds on it as it rolls up. It's a Ford, too. Boaz. You say, hey, you know that? Because if it's a Chevy, it'd have had a donkey pulling it instead of a stallion. Watch this. I got to get off of that. Watch this. Watch this. Boaz shows up at the field. Boaz shows up at the field. When he shows up at the field, he says, hey, whose damsel is that out there? Who's that girl out there? It's kind of like that night in October of 1998. I was standing beside my Ford Probe. Me and Clayton Maynard. Church had just lit out at Turner's Creek. Camp meeting, there's probably, I don't know, 1,000, 1,200 people there. We was directing traffic. They was. I was propped up against my car looking at girls walking by. I wasn't married then, okay? I could do that. And all of a sudden, there's this tall brunette walked by. And she went, I was like, how you doing? She walked under a car. Got in it, drove off. I got the license plate number. Because I had some connections. I was going to find out who that was. I looked at Clayton and I said, did you see her? He said, oh yeah, I saw her. I said, keep your eyes off of her. He said, well, who is she? And here's what I told him. I said, my wife. He said, you're stupid, man. I said, I'm going to marry that girl right there. He said, you don't even know who she is. I said, I got her license plate number. And I said, I bet before long I know who she is. Well, a couple of days went by, and I wasn't able to get in touch with a buddy of mine. His name was Jeff. I was going to get him to find out whose car that was. And it was the Sunday following that Thursday night, and I was standing at my house, and a deputy car pulled up. And I thought, what'd I do last night? Some of y'all thought the same thing, too, when they pull up at your house. And it was my buddy named Jeff. And I was like, hey, dude, man, what are you doing? He said, man, look, I ain't got time to talk. Here's my sister's number. She seen you at church the other night, and she wants you to call her. And I was like, no good thing would he withhold from them that walk upright. The only problem was I wasn't walking upright, so she must have been walking upright, and I was the good thing. Are you with me? You know who it was? It was my old buddy Jeff's sister, Leslie. And you know what? The day the doors opened up and she started down the aisle, I turned around and looked at old Clayton. It was standing over there beside him, and I said, I told you so. Boaz saw Ruth and was like, wow, who is that? Who is that? Boaz ends up sending word to Ruth and says, hey, look, I want you to come sit at my table and eat dinner with me. And the Bible in chapter number 2, when you read it, says this, that Boaz reached her parched corn. In other words, he ends up serving her. What she don't understand is before the story's all said and done, Boaz is the owner of that field, and not only that field, but a lot of Bethlehem, Judea. And Boaz is a very wealthy man that's very interested in her. And she ends up, let me fast forward and give you the story, and you come back tonight, and I'm going to preach the rest of it to you. She ends up marrying him. They end up having a baby by the name of Obed. That ends up having a son by the name of Jesse. That ends up having a son by the name of David. And we know that according to the Word of God, that the lineage of Jesus Christ ends up coming through the line of David and the bloodline of David. And guess who's in the bloodline of David? It's this little Moabitish girl that lost her husband, that was living in a devastated point in her life, but made a decision because she heard that there was something in Bethlehem, Judea good, and she followed her mother-in-law over there. And she ended up just submitting to her and doing what she wanted to do. She said, preach, what are you saying? I'm saying the beauty of the story is this. It all goes back to one day when she said, whither thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. It all goes back to her making a decision. Will you come start playing softball? She ends up sitting at his table. I'm going to preach it all to you tonight. I hope you'll come back. Now, I want you to look with me in your Bible, and I'm going to close. Cinderella, man. I'm telling you, it's what it is. Obed, Jesse, David. Matter of fact, if you go to Matthew chapter number 1, you'll find the lineage of Jesus Christ, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And you'll find in studying the genealogy and the lineage of Jesus Christ that there's very, very, very few women mentioned. It's either 3 or 5. I think it's 5, but it's either 3 or 5. That's it. In the whole lineage of Jesus Christ. But you know who one of those women is? Ruth. It's one of the women that's mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go in with chapter number 1. Remember I told you that she had a sister-in-law. Y'all remember that? I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but just shake your head up and down like you think you did. The Bible says this. Verse number 14. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. I want you to note something in verse number 15. The word gods right there is a little g. That's Moab. She went back to the little gods of the world. Close your Bible. You say, preacher, you're being awful boss. I want you to close your Bible. I want you to close it. Everybody close your Bible. Now look at me. That's the end of Orpah. But Timmy's nothing else. Won't know nothing else about her. That's it. See what happened to her. I know this in chapter number 14, she was bought. She was not present. Chapter number 4. Book of Ruth, chapter number 4. I'll show it to you now. She got bought by Boaz. She wasn't present, though she's nowhere around. Orpah had the same opportunity that Ruth had. Orpah chose Moab. Ruth chose Bethlehem. Both of them faced the same devastation. Both of them faced the same heartache. Both of them faced the exact same things in their life. One decided to go with capital G-O-D. The other decided to go with little G-O-D. I want to ask you a question this morning. I ask you a question. Is the story going to close in your life today because you're fixing to walk out of the will of God in your life? I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm just preaching this morning. She could have had it too, Miss Shannon. She could have had it. She could have been there. She could have sat at Boaz's feet. She could have had everything Ruth had. But Brother Josh, she decided she loved the world. She decided she loved Moab more. There's so many today that loves. You got any green money? Let me see a little bit. Got any more in there? Let me see one more. Got any more in there? No. Take that out and write God on it. Because there's a lot of people today that's their Moab. That's their Moab. That's their God. If I can make just a little bit more of that, it don't matter what they, don't matter what it costs them. There's some things that never comes back, Brother Robert. There's some things that never comes back. Some things that's never coming back. They never come back. Come here, man. I know you hate this, but come here, man. The first Sunday that we walked in, Brother Brian, she was 2 months, 3 months old. First Sunday, Brother Robert, she's 3 months old. Held her in her arms. 16 years have passed now. Ain't coming back. Ain't coming back, Miss Vicky. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Don't be careful. I mean, don't be so money hungry. Don't be so caught up in Moab. Don't be so caught up in little G-O-Ds that you lose your family like Elimelech did chasing after Moab. He got Moab, but what did he get? Orpah could have had everything Ruth had. She's gone. She's gone, Brother Stan. Zeb, she could have had anything that Ruth had. See, y'all, I think I'll just go back over here to the world. Orpah may have accomplished a lot. She may have went back, become the mayor of the city. But to God, she accomplished nothing. To the world, you may accomplish everything. But to God. Ruth's sitting over at Boaz's table. Ruth's in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never reach your full potential until you give God everything. Can I say that again? Until you give Him everything. Every bit of it.